I love Trading My Sorrows, the song. It's a beautiful song. And the chorus word says, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Well, when we were in Russia the last time, the church there, it had been translated into Russian. And it's a real simple chorus, and it's a lot of fun. Now, you remember the Russian word for yes is da. And the Russian word for, it's da, da, da. And the Russian word for God is bog, bog. So it's da bog, da bog, da, da bog. So if you ever want to have fun and confuse people, in that chorus, you can just start going, da bog, da bog, da, da bog, da bog, da bog, da, da bog. Come on. Da bog, da bog, da, da bog, amin. And it's amin is what it is. So there, that's your Russian lesson for the day. You guys done good. It is always a privilege to join Grace Christian Center whenever I have the opportunity to. I am sorry that I was not able to be here last weekend. Originally, I was going to kind of do two Sundays in a row. However, my dad going to be with Jesus interrupted that. And so it's been quite the month for the Koblen family. We've had two grandpas go, or two dads go and be with Jesus. And my middle daughter, Kelly, who is in Russia, she's 15 years old, very sad that she was not able to be here for either memorial service. And it was really hard on her. She was struggling with that a bit. And she wrote me a note when I was actually, when my dad passed, I was in Nashville, Tennessee at a conference. And I was coming back, and I was in the airport, and she asked me if I'd read her letter, and I hadn't. And it was just, up until that point, I had not really, I hadn't really fallen apart at all. And I was reading this, and she said, Dad, I'm so sorry that I can't be there. I was thinking about our two papas and how different they are. And my dad and PK were very different. And she was going, I just was thinking about that. But then I thought of something. Golf. She goes, both of them liked golf. And so, Dad, I picture that both of them are playing 18 holes of golf in heaven. Where there's, my dad was suffering from dementia towards the end, a slight. And as you know, PK was suffering. And she goes, and Dad, there's no dementia in heaven. There's no pain. They're both fantastically healthy. They're doing great. And they're playing 18 holes of golf in heaven. And I just, seriously, I was at the at a table at the airport having lunch with some friends, and I just fell apart. I mean, just, and my friends, they're pastors. They said, it's good to cry. So, and it got me thinking about my papas and how they both have shaped me, my two dads, my spiritual father, my natural father. And in one area, they were very different. My dad was not a fix-it guy. He had tools in his basement, but I rarely remember seeing him use them. As opposed to PK, who, if you've seen his pole barn, he has a tool for everything. Anything and everything that ever needed to be done, he had it. And he used it. It was always the joke, and I'd crack up. Whenever we were doing a project, it's like, you need this particular thing. And he would go somewhere in some drawer in something that he'd gotten at a garage sale or picked up, and it was the exact thing you needed. And so he helped me begin to become more project-oriented. But actually, before I came into his family, I worked for a contractor. So I was just out of college. I just graduated. I knew I was going to stay in Pullman and be a part of Living Faith Fellowship and get my foundation solid, but I needed a job. So one of my jobs, a contractor hired me, and the first thing he did was send me up on the roof. We were roofing that day. And I said, great, I'm ready. I had my hammer, and I had my roofing nails. And I'm going, man, I am ready. And so he showed me what to do. Showed me if you line up, and this is before pneumatics. So we actually used hammers and showed me what to do, how to do it. And so I went, okay, I got it. So I lined up my first shake there on the roof, got it lined up, and I got my nail out, and I got my hammer, And I wish I had my hammer, but it went something like this. Tap. Tap, 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 tap. And I looked up, and I can see some of you who have construction experience are looking at me the same way the contractor looked at me. Like, what planet did you come from? Seriously, that look of pure, almost disgust. He walked up. No, I said, this is what you do. Took the nail, set, sink. Oh, I get it. So slowly but surely, I began to learn how to do that correctly. And I realized that my image of becoming a real man was shaped by that type of experience. As a real man, I needed to know how to do projects. Because real men know how to fix things. Just ask their wives. Ha, 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 ha. Yeah, we try, but yeah, I won't even go there. But so I started collecting tools. That's one of the things I started doing because I knew in order to do projects, you needed tools. So I started collecting tools. And I have a paint sprayer. A great paint sprayer that I bought from at a yard sale. Fantastic. I bought it about 3 years ago because you know what? It's got the compressor. It's got everything. It's a fantastic sprayer. And you know how many times I've used it?
Zero.
I still plan on it at some point. If any of you have a project you need it for. Okay, good. Yeah, okay, paint your, yeah. Again, though. Just having the tools doesn't mean I know how to do projects. I've learned a lot over 30 years, and I can do a lot more than I did back then. But I am not any kind of a project guy like PK was. I mean, the guy could do anything. It's just amazing how he was able to do that, and I'm sure some of you are the same. But that image that had been birthed so many years ago got me thinking that who I am is defined by what I do. And as men, that kind of is the way we tick. Women do to a degree. Again, if I could do projects, I was a real man. And you notice how my voice goes down when I do that. Because I'm a real man when I do projects, and that's my project voice. And in fact, we tend to think that what we do defines who we are. So much so that what's one of the first questions that comes out of your mouth whenever you meet someone? What do you do? What do you do? What do you do? What do you do? Well, I don't know. What do you do? And you kind of go into you've got your elevator speech of what it is that you do. And that got me thinking about Jesus and what it was that was important to him. And there's a great story in Matthew that gives some critical insight in this area. And I did not have any overheads, and I'm glad you got your Bibles because I'm actually going to ask you to open them. Good thing. Matthew 16, verses 13 through 17. Give you a minute to get there. Matthew 16, 13 through 17. And I will take again this time to thank Pastor Kev for the opportunity to be here with you guys. He's a great guy. I love him a lot. I love the whole gang. Love Pastor Sherry. Love being able to be here. And as you open that, let me pray and ask God's blessing upon this message. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to speak to this incredible group of people, and I pray that you would use the words and your word, most importantly, Holy Spirit, to change lives, to encourage, to build up, to strengthen, and help us to become more like you, the way you created us to. In Jesus' name, amen. So, beginning, verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." I love that scripture. And I'll tell you why. Notice Jesus didn't ask, "What do people say that I do?" He didn't say, "What do people say that I do? What do people say that I do? What do people say my career choice is?" They said, "Who do people say that I am?" His emphasis was always on who he was, because he knew that who he was determined what he would do, and not the other way around. We get it backwards. We think what I do determines who I am, and that is exactly backwards. It's who we are that will determine what we do, especially as a child of God and a follower of Christ. His identity defined his purpose. His identity defined his purpose. And the same is true of us, whether we realize it or not. And the core issue of who we are revolves completely around our answer to the question Jesus asked his disciples. Who do you say that he is? Who do you say that Jesus is? Your answer to that question determines who you are. Guarantee it. Can walk you through it. How you answer that question determines who you are. So if Jesus were here today and he asked, "Who do you say that I am?" what would your answers be? And you can shout them out if you want. You can raise your hand, and I am. Like I said, I always love to interact. Helps people to not fall asleep, and I get to hear what you're saying. Yeah, Son of God, my Lord, what? My Savior. Outstanding. Outstanding. Anything else? My everything. That sort of sums it up. Yeah.
I am.
Yeah, and you can go on. Yeah. The living God. Yeah. Amazing. He is. He's everything. He's the Son of God. He is God incarnate himself. He is the Alpha and Omega. And you get the scripture is full of who he is. Then I would say, if that's who you'd say Jesus is, then who do you say you are? Who are you? His child. His child. A follower. Okay. A
servant.
Oh, okay. Great. Fantastic. Good. Good. Those are all very correct. And if you want to define that even more, the best place to go is where? The Bible. It's a good thing. Good book. Continues to be the best book, the only book to get true answers. And it gives us two distinct pictures. And again, they are both related to how we have responded to who Jesus Christ is. Before Christ, there's the picture before Christ of who we are. Romans 3:23, the New International I'm reading out of, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Before Christ. And if you want to draw it, we'll make this because there's a cross, a couple of crosses on it. This is Christ. Here's before Christ. You're broken. We are broken. One of the best ways I've found to describe it, we are simply broken. And that's what is called sin in our lives. And I know in this day and age, sin is not a very popular word. It's a biblical word. And helping people understand it is an important thing we need to do as we share the gospel with them. And I have found that sin, they go, huh? Because this generation, more than ever before, especially younger, they don't really realize they're sinners. They don't. But if you say we're broken, they kind of listen. So something that might encourage you to look at it was we're broken. We aren't the way we were created to be. There's something that's wrong with us. And what we try and do in our life is fix us. We try and fix our brokenness. And we do it a lot of different ways. We try to fix it through relationships. We try to make other people make us feel whole or well or put together. We can go to drugs. People go to drugs. They go to alcohol. They go to jobs. And they bury themselves in their jobs, and their sense of security and their sense of I am worth something comes from that job. And I know so many people that they've had a great career. They've been fantastic. And then illness or something hits. And all of a sudden, they don't know who they are. We're broken and we try and fix ourselves. And honestly, if you talk to anybody long enough, you can get a pretty good idea of how they're trying to fix themselves. The only one who can really fix us is Jesus. Period. It's because He created us. He's got the fix to our brokenness. And it's found on the cross. Through the fact that He paid the penalty we owed. He then, as that not only is paid, He then comes into our lives through the person of the Holy Spirit, and He begins this transformation process. And that is over here. The second part is once you have recognized who Christ is, you have accepted His sacrifice, His incredible gift of salvation that is free. You can't earn it. And a lot of times over here, we think, I've got to work harder, do better, do more. And all of a sudden, then God will find me worthy because I'm doing everything just right. And then I can be good. Nah, never happens that way. Simply, it's given. We cannot earn it. We never will be able to. It's given to us freely. When we accept it, it transforms us. And now because we are transformed, we can begin to live a life in Christ. And in that context, I'm going to ask my helpful ushers if you would please pass this out to people. Let me keep one of them here. And I'll ask you to pass those out.
Okay.
There is. It is called life. Second Corinthians 5:17, as you are receiving that and looking at it, Second Corinthians 5:17 describes very well who we are after this encounter with Christ. It says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That just blows me away. In God's sight, I have become brand new. And that's an incredible promise because He has made me that way. He now begins this repairing process. And here is what He says about us. And this is just a smattering. And as you look at it, it talks about who we are in Christ. Some of the things. And here's the challenge for me, and I believe for you. As you read through that, do you really believe it? Because I know sometimes I struggle, and I'm quite honest, this last month I've struggled with some of this stuff in terms of believing what God says about me compared to how I think about and feel about myself. Because my feelings sometimes really don't line up with this. But what does it say about us? And I'm just, again, where are we? I want you, and I'm going to have you look through this in a minute, but just in summary, it says, we are salt, we are light, we are dead, and our life is hidden with Christ in God. We are His friends, we're His children, we're His brothers, we're redeemed, we're forgiven, we're more than conquerors. And the list goes on and on and on. And that's the cool thing, because and why I love this emphasis is because, you know, the more you think about things, the more you begin to believe them, the more you reckon on it. That's why it says meditate upon the Lord. And literally, the science behind it, they're continuing to show more and more. The more you think about, the more your neurons fire and actually begin to tell your body it's the truth and your mind it's the truth. And that's why it's so important to focus on what is true about who you are. It's who you are. You don't get there because of what you do. This is who you are. That's a fact. It had nothing to do with you. It had everything to do with Jesus Christ. And it only, all you do is say, yes, Lord, says the song says. Da Bog. Da Bog. I agree with your truth and what you say about me. When God looks at you, this is who He sees. This is who He sees. And another thing, Kelly Michelle, I miss her, but I asked her, I was talking about being a follower of Christ and what it means to be a disciple. And I said, Kelly, what's a disciple to you? And she said, someone who sees Jesus in the mirror every day. And I thought, wow, that's better than all the theological training, or at least it sums it up better than I can say. I go, yeah. And who believes it's Jesus. We look and we see all the imperfections and the failures and the problems. God looks and sees this. He sees Jesus. And that's who He wants us to see. Now, because of that, then, you begin to live the life He created you to. You begin to do the things that He did. Now, again, we're not perfect in practice. We are perfect in position because of whose we are. When God looks at us, He sees us as Christ because we're in Christ. Living it out, we still have some challenges. Again, we are in the process of being repaired. And that process includes struggles, imperfections, and challenges. Always in all of us. And it's a lifelong process. And for Pastor Carl and my dad, it has stopped.
Yes, amen.
Because both of them have been completely healed. And it's going to happen for all of us. But until that point, we're still going to face issues. We're still going to face challenges. And sometimes we try and cover those areas that are in need of repair. We get over on this side again and we sort of try and fix them up. I've got a door, a sliding glass door, and I don't even want to tell you how many months ago, the actual lock broke on it. The little slide up and down snapped right off. So I can't lock it anymore. So I got a stick. And I stick the stick in the slider. So it's functional. It's functional and you can't open it when the stick's in there, but it's still broken. And sometimes that's what we do in our lives in the areas where we're messed up, is we try and manufacture a solution that makes us functional. But we still need repair. Sometimes we don't see it. Sometimes we're not really aware of something that's going on until something or someone brings it to our attention. In my girl's bathroom, I hadn't been in there in a while, and I can't remember if they said something, but I walked in and I looked up and I saw little dark moldy spots. And I reached up and pushed it, and it was soft. Guess what I figured out? I've got a leak. So, with that, I had to, first of all, cut out the sheetrock and sort of try and look up there and clean it up and figure out. And then I was able to climb onto the roof and find out where the leak was, and I was able to repair it. So now it's not leaking. still have the hole in my ceiling because I'm not Mr. Project. So I put a plastic bag up there and pinned it. Sorry, but I mean, I want to fix it, and I know the concepts behind it. I know I need to cut the sheetrock, need to get it up there, need to tape it, mud it, and do all that, and then paint it, but I just haven't made it happen. And again, sometimes we need others. Sometimes circumstances bring our brokenness or our struggles to light. And when that happens, a lot of times we don't like it. We don't like having our struggles and our weaknesses exposed. Because we want to be this, yes, I am wonderful, I'm Project Man. But that isn't what Jesus has for us. He recognizes, he knows we still struggle. He knows we're still in the process of repair, and that's okay. And we need one another in the midst of this. I needed my friend to show me how to use a roofing hammer. I needed someone to show me how, or I'd have continued to do the tap, 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 tap. Well, I don't think I ever got as good as he is, but I got better because I had someone who was willing to come alongside me and show me how to do it the right way. And that's why God puts us in a body. Gives us one another so that we can encourage and build up. And where you're strong and I'm weak, you can help me and vice versa. And it's never about being better than. It's just about being the best God has created us to be and helping others to become the best they can be. And He gives us giftings and abilities to be able to help do that. And sometimes something's wrong we don't even know about. Many of you know my eldest daughter. Over the past few years, 3 years, we've been going to Children's Hospital because she's had symptoms that we tried to get diagnosed. And I've had MRIs and CAT scans and all these things going on. And honestly, it wasn't until my wife was watching one of those TV shows of rare diseases, undiagnoses, and she saw someone who was diagnosed with Cushing's disease. And because of that, when we went down, she says, I want her to be tested for Cushing's. And that's what it was. It was a tumor on her pituitary in her brain that was causing all sorts of problems. Once it was diagnosed, within a month, we were in for brain surgery at Children's. Amazing. And she is now recovering well. I mean, it's just the doctors, just exactly what you want to hear after a surgery. Surgery was uneventful. Yeah. That's the thing, the golden words you want to hear. He said it couldn't have gone any better. And she's continued to recover. And I believe that's God answering prayer and God using the gifts that He's given people. But sometimes it takes sickness and symptoms and things going on in our lives that we don't understand that we need to get diagnosed and we need help diagnosing those things. And again, that's where the body of Christ, that's where the Word of God comes in too. You ever read the Bible and you just kind of go, oh, I wish He wouldn't have written that. Because that's convicting me. And I don't want to be convicted right now. Because I kind of like my brokenness. My brokenness works for me sometimes. My anger. Or my feeling sorry for myself. I love, and trust me, and being very honest, which we need to be with one another. That's how we get help. That's how we get healing, is being able to be with a group of people where, you know what, it's not about you how great you are. It's about being willing to say, I need help. I am broken. I'm struggling. Please pray for me. And quite honestly, this last year, or even 2 years for me, I have really struggled. I probably have, never before in my life, but I've probably dipped into the depression realm. Just with some of the issues that have been going on, life hasn't been working the way I planned it to. How I would like it, especially when it comes to providing for my family. It has not worked. And I've just wanted to throw in the towel and say, forget it. And I felt, and this last month with both my spiritual dad and my dad passing and all the different things that have been, it's just been a crazy month. And there have been times I've just gone, I want to quit. And so please keep me in your prayers, because I'm not saying I'm out of it and everything's all wonderful. There's some tough things, and I know for all families as you go through it, it's difficult. And the challenges that come with that. But we need one another. We need one another. And being able to come here just has been such a blessing. And I will tell you the truth. A wonderful lady, as she came in, walked up and put this right here. And when I saw you do that, I just about broke down again. Just because it expressed love. It expressed, I'm thinking about you and I care. And so many of you have done that and have expressed your support and your love. And you don't know how much that means. Actually, you probably do, because people have done it for you. But it does. It means something and continues to. And that's part of the process that we're in. Sharing with one another the struggles we face. Because when we do, we can get help. And we can begin to focus and get a repair going where repair is needed. Through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, through one another. And I say this very carefully, but I also recognize we have to be careful, though, about what we say to ourselves about ourselves. And who we are as we talk to ourselves daily. Because I know if I would talk to every one of you, just like I shared and what I can say about me, many times if I'd say, fill in the blank, I am a lot of times we wouldn't necessarily put the positive, Christ-centered, what I say in church response. We would say something really negative about ourselves. I mean, I have to really watch my self-talk, especially around my kids. Because I will do something, and I know I shouldn't do anything. What do I say? I'm such an idiot! Yeah, you idiot! Dork! Doofus! You're so stupid! And you know what I'm having to learn? I say, no, I'm not stupid. I do stupid things. But I'm not stupid! But we can do that, because part of the challenge, and this is where we have to be very careful, is when we focus on the struggle and the challenge, we tend to get more of the struggle. We have to admit it, recognize it, but don't dwell and focus on, woe is me. I mean, I don't know if any of you, I used to watch cartoons, and there was a cartoon called Lilliputians. And there's all, you know, the Gulliver and the Lilliputians. And there's this one guy that always, he was, oh, we're doomed. We're never going to make it. Kind of the Eeyore. There's a reference a lot of people would know. The Eeyore of the bunch, yeah. But that's what we can be sometimes. And even though we struggle, we don't need to make the struggle the focus. Because our struggles, though they may shape us, do not define us. Our Savior does. Our struggles, though they may shape us, do not define us. Our Savior does. Jesus defines you. This defines you and me. The Word of God defines us. That is why we need to know who He says we are, and begin to agree with Him. Because the more we start believing what He says, the more we will begin to live it. So now, here's what I would like you to do. Is take a minute. You've got those scriptures. I would like you to take and find two of those scriptures that are on that page that most speak to you right now. And circle them. Two of the scriptures that most speak to you about who you are in Christ. And circle those. And then I'm going to have some fun with you too, which I hope's okay. So I think you guys like to have fun, don't you?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
If I could have my helpful, incredible ushers, would you please? Now, again, some of these I didn't cut them, so would you please pass one of those out? And if there's two, you can get two of you. Just hand one out where there's going to be two, if you want to do that, and kind of pass these out if you want. Here's what I want you to do. After you've circled those scriptures, I want you to take the principle of those scriptures and then fill in who you are. These are the "Hello, my name is." And many of you wear these at conferences or you come in, "Hi, my name is David." And that's great. That's wonderful. But what I want you to do today, as we then dismiss, and as you go out, and I encourage you, figure out from your scripture. For instance, if you circled the first one, "I am a temple in which God dwells," what I would write is, "Hello, my name is Temple of the Living God." Or you could do, "I am a joint heir with Christ." "Hello, my name is joint heir with Christ." "Hello, my name is member of Christ's body." Write down your... Here, you need some more? Who needs them still? Because we've got doubles. I know the problem is some of you are going to need to double up. And then, as you finish up, you can actually take them off and put them on. And if there's anybody that would like to share what your name is from a Christ-centered focus today, you can let me know. I mean, someone's got their name tag on already. What's your name? Yes! Isn't that cool? How does that make you feel?
Like the light of the world.
Like the light of the world, because it's true. Scripture says that about you and me, because we all share the same name. All of these we share. Who else? Who else has got their name tag on? Yes?
Chosen by God.
Hello, chosen by God. So nice to meet you. So glad you came today. Who else? Yes, sir?
One of God's living stones.
Wow. You're a good rock. Yeah, that's what you get. You rock!
Yeah,
a little sandy, yeah. Yeah, a little sandy. Sorry. All right, let's see. Yes?
Christ's friend.
You are Christ. That's just like, yeah. See, and also, I know evangelism is difficult sometimes for us, sharing Christ. Wear these to lunch today. See what kind of response you... Oh, you're what? That lady's the light of the world. Folks, they're great. I do this because sometimes we really need to get that emphasis in our heads of who Jesus says we are. I do every day when I get up. I need to go to the Word. I need to have the Holy Spirit speak to me about who I am. It started with the answer to the question, who do we say Jesus is? It continued into, who do we say we are? And you've got that right now. The last thing we always need to pay attention to is, who do we say then everybody else is? And I define it into two categories. Those who are Christ's and who are His. And I like to say it this way. Those who are on their way to Him. Now, I know they're lost. I know they're all that, but I tend to think, if I can frame it in the context of this group is on their way to Him, and I have the privilege of helping in some way them come into this incredible family. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of them that are over here right now. They are broken. They're trying to fix themselves. And you know what? The light of the world the rock, Jesus' friend, has answers that can help every one of them come from here to become a part of this incredible family. And if you haven't done that, I encourage you to do it today. Do it today. There's never, I tell you what, it begins the most amazing journey you'll ever have. And the great news is, someone is with you all the time. God Himself, the Christ, the Son of the living God, is with you and lives in you and is transforming you. He brings you into a family where you're loved, accepted. You don't have to be someone. You simply are who you are, and you're loved because of it. And then, at the end of the journey, you get to step into eternity and forever be with Him in a way that we can't imagine. But I know someday we'll get to go and be with Him.
That's right.
So, would you pray together with me, please? Jesus, I thank You. Lord, that You have those of us who are following You, who have accepted Your incredible gift, we're Yours. And Lord, help us to believe it. Help us to, by Your Spirit, God, reveal all the truths of Your Scripture and what You have done for us and what You have done in us. And help us to grow in an understanding and an expression of who You are in us and who You have created us to be, that we might live it in a way that others see and then want to become like us as we follow You, because that's the whole goal, so that the world will see that we're Yours because we love one another, and they will then want to join the family. We thank You. We love You, and I ask Your blessing upon each person here, their families, that You would be with them and comfort, strengthen, and bless. You know what each of us need, Lord. Please do it in Your name. Amen.